Blog Talk Radio.
Hit me! How y'all doing this evening? How y'all doing this evening? Do y'all want that bounce? Do y'all want that bounce? I say, do y'all want that bounce? That bounce?
Yeah.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Charles on the Spirit of Truth Revealed, and I hope you're having a wonderful day today or wherever you are in this precious season where you're listening from. But first, let's set our minds to receive the Word of God, and then we're going to pray. We have to remember that the Bible continually talks about fellowship with one another, remembering that sin separates us from God. We need to walk by the Spirit, not by the sin nature. So we need to confess our sins, which means to what? To admit or to acknowledge our wrongdoings to God the Father. So let us not forget, if we confess our sins, He is faithful. Who is He? As Christ Himself is faithful. Not us, but Christ is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's in 1 John 1:9. So let me give you a quick time of silent prayer to focus on yourselves and prepare yourself to receive today's message. And then I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You always giving thanks as we continue to study Your Word and continue to know You, Father, as we continue to walk through the shadows and walk through this earthly realm, and as we continue to know that You are our redemption. And we want to continue to study Your will and Your way and to understand You, Father. We get that from the Word of God, the Bible itself. And as we continue to study, we want to say thank You. And we also want to pray for the sick as well, for those who are sick. We know that it is God's perfect will for all to be well. And I want to also pray for the safety of others, missionaries that are abroad that spread the Word of God, in which they continually risk their lives in many ways. So we want to pray for the missionaries across this whole entire world. And let's also pray for the leadership of this country as we continue to embark on many challenges of this world within this country and how we deal with every other demonic force and other countries as well. We want to pray for the leadership of this country and also pray for the peace of Israel. In Psalms 122:6, we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love Thee. And also pray for me and also for the others that are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. Okay, I want to talk about, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for all who are listening. And actually, today what I wanted to, but first let's start with a couple of words of wisdom. Like just a couple of nuggets before we start. The Bible teaches us to study and to learn the Word of God and to grow. Actually, studying the Bible is, as we continue to study, and there's many ways to study, as I spoke about last time, there's many ways, there's many flavors to study the Bible, as it's from its historical settings, from an archaeological standpoint, from an historical perspective, understanding that Jerusalem, Israel, is the primary focus throughout all of time, and theological, from the standpoint of doctrinal teaching and instruction, and also comparative, which we're going to somewhat get in today. As it also integrated with the New Testament, but also devotional, meaning personal. When we read the scriptures of the Bible, there's three main areas that we have to focus on and understand. It's the observation, it's the what, when, where, and why, and the interpretation, why or the purpose, right? Sometimes it's hard to interpret the Bibles and actually what it's actually trying to say, given that time period. So there has to be some study in there, and also application, what it means to what? What it means to you and how you can apply it and to live by those principles. But anyway, so the Bible teaches us to study and to learn the Word of God and to grow. Studying the Bible takes, it's a lifetime. It's never a master in which The Bible is, it takes time, because as you continue to study more and more of the Bible, you will start, a lot of things will be revealed. However, when you continue to do this, you'll start to find out, well, maybe there's certain things that I've said that may have not been correct at that time, or, you know, as you continue to study and learn the Word of God, sometimes it may be that way. Typically, if you step on your own toes, so to speak, it's probably because you've done something with your own interpretation to move forward with the Word of God. But if you stay in the confines of its interpretation, and to preach in that realm, you would never err from that perspective, understanding that you understand the Scriptures, or understanding the focal point, and not swing from the Word of God. It's just that you'll have to build more and more understanding and knowledge. I don't know if that makes sense, but anyway, so as you continue to study, the Bible will start to tell a story, even in many ways as it relates to Christ himself. As you continue to study the Word of God, actually you'll find out it's about him. It's about Christ. I mean, even Christ mentions that. Study the Scriptures. Study them. And then what did he tell the Pharisees and Sadducees? You'll find out that those Scriptures, what? Witness and talk about what? Christ himself. So when you look into it, there's a growth development. There's a pattern in which, as you continue to study and learn, it builds upon one another. It's actually like a Lego set. As you continue to study the Word of God, you start to get the foundation, and it's imperative. It's very important that you understand the basic concepts as it relates to, it could be salvation, it could be the gospel, right? And what I mean by gospel, it's not just the good news, but the gospel really teaches, Paul summarizes it, but it's also spoken of Moses as far as the seed of a woman, you know, and he will die and, you know, raise up the third day. And it's really simplistic and basic, but as we continue to study the Word of God, we'll start to build this foundation. And within this foundation, you're able to continue to study and learn, but to help others. And as you continue to learn too, there's also a living aspect of it. And what I mean by living is that you want to live by example. You want to live the way that you speak, as you talk and speak, because that's important, because there's much to say about that. Christ does mention that. But anyway, so the Bible teaches us to study and to learn the Word of God and to grow. So where do we see this in Scripture? So Romans 10:17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this faith that we're talking about, there's actually two types of faith, but one, you know, God has given the measure of faith, and then there's also the gift of faith as it relates to healing. But so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So continuing to hear the Word of God builds that faith, right? So that's the studying part, learn the Word of God and continue to grow. And also 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here Timothy talks about understanding the Word of God and being able to dissect and rightly dividing the what? The word of truth. And this is where you get more and more understanding. And also 1 Peter 2:2, as a newborn baby, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And also we see in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And there's a couple other scriptures, but I'm going to pass over. But in other words, continue to study the Bible. It takes some time, but it's very rewarding. As you continue to study the Word of God, it may take time to understand the principles. It takes time to understand maybe Daniel or the prophets, Jeremiah, the prophet Isaiah. It does take time, but what you find out is very rewarding, because God, once you want to find out about God the Father, He will reveal Himself to you as well. And then as you continue to see these things, He will draw you what? He will draw you in. And you will study more and more, and this information is very powerful to spread the Word of God and to do the things that He's called each and every one of us to do. So anyway, so today what I wanted to go over is the pattern of today versus biblical history. The pattern of today versus biblical history. I was going to, first of all, talk about the patterns. But I don't really want to get into that. I am a little bit, but when you think about the patterns, the things in the Old Testament are also revealed, are revealed in the New Testament, or actually, we say fulfilled in the New Testament. So there's a parallelism, but you also see a lot of parallels in throughout all of history. And God does this because He is outside of time. He is not limited through time, right? So God is infinite. He is the beginning and the end. So He is not constrained with time, not one bit. However, we are. And so to prove this, typically He shows what is called prophecy. And so what God does with the sense of prophecy is that He's able to look through, He's able to share with people of a prophetic sense what's to come. Or let's say, I talked about this a while ago, but they can be seers. In other words, they see the future. However, it's something that they have to witness to someone else. God normally does not, when you see a lot of prophets, we have to be careful. Actually, if they prophesy and say certain things about, you're gonna have $1 million tomorrow or something like that. The thing is, or you got to be very careful with that, because you actually have to see if that lines up with the Bible, right? You have to see in the Bible if there were things that prophets did, the same things that we see today. And if it's not, then it's suspect, right? Then you have to do your own homework. I think it's very obvious as far as what I'm saying as it relates to that. But I'm not going to get into that. That's not my message today. Anyway, so what I want to do is just go over a few scriptures. But we have to look at today. And when I say the pattern of today, I did want to speak about a little bit more on the historical aspect about what happened maybe a couple thousand years ago and what's going to happen now. But I think what's most important is that as we see these things develop today, I mean, ISIS is laying down the ground for this next rulership. What are you talking about? Well, we're going to get into it just briefly. I'm not going to go over all of it, but as the, sometimes you have to back up and explain everything, but to get the context. However, the Antichrist, which will be revealed in his time, he's going to come up. In Daniel, it mentions he's going to come up out of the Iraqi and the, let's say, Persian, the Turkey area, Iraq, in that area. But since the countries have changed, sometimes it's very difficult to try and, you know, pinpoint what areas, but it's pretty obvious where he comes out of. It speaks of the Assyrian area. If you look at Assyrian, and Daniel talks about Assyrian. If you look at Assyrian, what do we see of Assyrian today? Assyrian, and it's the northern Iraqi area. And if you think about that, what is what? Iraqi area is Baghdad. Where is that at? That's Babylon. So we're thinking, okay, wow, this is interesting. And Babylon was the first, if you remember Nimrod, right? So Babylon, which Nebuchadnezzar, of course, took over Jerusalem in that time, King Solomon. During Jeremiah and also Ezekiel, but Daniel, most importantly, during the exiles, these same regions have been giving what Israel heartache for over what 3, 4, 5,000 years. This is nothing new. Okay, so why isn't this new? It's not new because you can see that in history. Israel, Jerusalem being the focal point, has always had problems, right, with other countries trying to overtake it. And, of course, it's the struggle between, as the Bible states, is Esau and Jacob. But anyway, they're actually brothers, right? But the thing is that as we continue on, we're starting to see in today's history how ISIS is paving this way. And actually, ISIS is actually in the book of Habakkuk. And in ISIS, you'll read there, it talks about the Chaldeans, this hasty nation. You'll see what they do. It's very prevalent of what they're doing today. And so as we focus on what's going on today, how that maps is very instrumental about what's actually happening today in a prophetic sense. And we'll show that very briefly. But anyway, let's move on. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 13 through 16. He writes, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, of course, lest you sorrow on those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again, even so God will bring him to those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that if we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, for which no means proceeds or to sleep, for the Lord himself will descend from above and God himself." And then we understand about, so then he resurrected Paul at the particular time that Christ returned, will be in his lifetime, but of course in his return. Okay, so we understand this central passage is in the scriptures that Christ is returning to establish the kingdom of God. So when we look at this in a simple sense, is that these scriptures are focused around Jerusalem and Christ returning to establish his kingdom. That has not happened yet, right? Even if, let's think about this simplistic sense too. There could be other focal points on which, hey, everything's over. The Spirit is in us. God dwells within us. Christ is here. But we're still not over with this age, if you think about it, because Christ is not reigning. There's two prophecies, as we talked about, Joseph the suffering servant, suffering as the lamb, which Christ did 2,000 years ago. But then there's a Davidic, a messianic or a Messiah standpoint, that Christ is going to reign for 1,000 years here on earth. That has not happened yet. So Christ has to return, right? So we're thinking, okay, that's good. I mean, that's fine. There's a lot of things that have happened. So what makes today different? Well, what makes the day when at 70 AD, when Jerusalem, after Christ had died and resurrected around 32 AD, on that April, on Nisan 14, April 14th. How did they know, 30 years later, 35 or 38 years later, 70 AD, when Roman overtook Jerusalem? Did you think that they thought for anything that was going to happen that day? And so why now, as we see the world paving the way for Christ's return? So be ready. So that's what Paul's referring to. And so we should be ready because of the fact that Israel now is a nation since 1948. And it hasn't been before 1948, there was no establishment of Israel for over 2,000 years, right? Because it was taken over in 70 AD. So in a prophetic sense, the focal point is Israel, pending Christ's return. So as we see these things commensurate, we're seeing that, first of all, we have to see that these things are starting to take focus. Even though, as we look at from a historical standpoint, we may not know as far as the church being taken away. A church is very distinct, is different from Israel. So the church is not Israel. They're very distinct. Church being grafted in, of course, through Christ. Of course, in Acts, when God had showed, of course, Peter and Paul, that what? The Holy Spirit came to these Gentiles, Cornelius, Ananias, right? The Holy Spirit came to even the centurion, right, Cornelius, and showed them what? They too can receive this calling, right, to be grafted in a sense. And so this is what we call is, of course, the church. Or we can go back, we can go into Septuagint, Ecclesia, and we can see that the church also was established at Mount Sinai with Moses. The Septuagint actually talks about Ecclesia. But anyway, so actually Ecclesiastes, the study of the church, and eschatology, the study of all the end times, is distinctly different, but it's very interesting. It's really good stuff. Anyway, so the thing is that, looks like we got a call. Maybe we'll get a call in. I think it's my brother, Donald. Hello, Donald. Wrong one. There we go. See if we can hear him now. Hello, Donald.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm good. How you doing? It's good time.
Yeah, not too bad. I'm glad you can call in. Actually, I'm just talking about... it could be anything. We could talk about anything. I actually started the pattern of today versus biblical history, but I was just talking about in general how the return of Christ is coming and how the world is changing today as Christ is returning. Do you want to share something or?
I just wanted to. I was just listening to, a few things which you were discussing about, was about the church age. And for one thing, and sometimes I had to renew my mind and, refresh my memory sometimes, is that, I asked you, I just asked you a question. What should Christians today, what should they be doing other than, most Christians seem like they only worry about themselves and the church, you know what I mean? And don't really get the gospel out to others. So I ask you, what mainly should people be doing right now today as the church age is, coming to an end, and now we're coming towards the tribulation and, these days that we're, things is at its worst. So I ask you, what should most Christians should be doing today?
Actually, to get
people to understand the gospel.
Yeah, that's a very good question. In general, as Christians today, the most important thing that we should be doing is what Christ has stated. He said we should be what? We should be growing our fruits. Now, I'm assuming that people are... people are saved, and sanctified and, continue to do the things of God. But the most important thing is what Christ had mentioned, was that we need to grow our fruits in operating in the gifts of the Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit, of course, the nine gifts of the Spirit, but there's also nine fruits that correspond to that. And those fruits, as far as patience, peace, joy, love, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, kindness, gentleness or something. Anyway, I may have.
I think meekness.
Meekness, there you go. So those fruits, because Christ said that when you grow those fruits, that glorifies who? God.
The Father.
Right? The Father. So Christ made it a note that you grow those fruits to glorify God. So the answer to your question is, what should we be doing? We should be glorifying God, right? I mean, we should be glorifying. Well, how do you glorify God? Well, by Jesus, he says what? Grow your fruits. So we should be growing into what? Peace. We should be growing more into love. And what you'll find out is when you do that, you'll be what? You'll be acting upon those things, and you'll be doing what? You'll be helping. You'll be feeding the poor. You'll be helping other people. You'll be ministering to people. You'll be doing healing. Because if you look, what happens is that when John talks about God as love, when he climaxes and he talks about God, and then briefly he says, well, wait a second, God is love. And so love, when you have love inside of you, it motivates you. And that's why God so loved the world that he gave Christ. So when you have love in you, you do things for God. So
exactly.
Like you said, so what should Christians be doing? They should be growing their fruits. And what they find out is when they're growing in more love, they're going to be what? They're going to be doing the things of what God wants them to do. Because Jesus says, I only do what I see my Father does. Jesus says, I only do to see what my Father does. So if you want to glorify God, then you also do what he does. And so if you do what he does, you can see what Christ did in the first four books of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? So as Christians, we should be trying to do the things of what Jesus did and to grow our fruits. So what else did Jesus do? He went to what? He went to sinners, right? He went to the to the brokenhearted. He went to control those people. So that's what Jesus did. I mean, look at the adulterous woman. He went to her. And he went to Zacchaeus, the guy who was stealing people's money. He went to even go eat with, he went to go eat with him, right? So these are the things we should be doing. And those are the things that what grows your fruit. But the evidence of that is to continue to grow in those things. But sometimes what? You turn on the TV and people are saying what? Send your money, right? I mean, you got to be careful with that because, you got to be really careful with that sometimes. But anyway,
and
I mean,
I'm not to downplay that. And another thing is, I totally agree.
Ahead.
And that's what most people, and if you're listening, I want people to understand is that, for the non-believer, or I ain't going to call you, if you're trying to seek the Father and all you see is the thing, like you just said, you see on television, like, well, give me your money, give me your money, give me your money, give me your money. That's not the walk of Christ. If they explain what you're giving and what you're doing and things like that, but like you said, majority of the time, each channel just talks about give me your money and things like that. So, again, that's not, for a person who's lost or who's trying to seek the kingdom and things like that, you have to, like you just said, be careful and understand where does God, what does Jesus say about these things? You see what I mean? So when you're out there in the world and doing things, if you're a person of Christ, you go out and, like you said, Jesus never came. He didn't come for the people who was well. He came for the people who were sick and then lost.
Right.
That's the same walk we should be having just as well. And I'm glad you answered it, more than better, And I want people to understand that is that if you're Christian and if you're seeking, do the things of Jesus. Just go out. And it's funny, just the other day, I had like an extra like $25, and I was looking for a man or a woman who needed just some regular comfortable shoes. See, it's the small things like that the $25 or the $30 might not be to you, but you can go get some kind of pair of shoes for someone who's homeless, or give them a meal and just witness to them about Christ. a man or a woman you do not know. That are the these are the things that glorify the kingdom of God. It's about others. Like you said, God gave. He loved the world so much that he gave his son.
That's right.
He gave. So it's about someone else. Now, if it's about you, and I just seen something on Facebook, too, that made sense. It says God's bigger than your problems. So when you look at the scenarios, if you think it's about you, you miss the whole point of Jesus' walk. You know, of course you got to get yourself better. Yeah, I know you got bills, you got kids and things like that. Well, I understand that. I totally agree with you. But when you start seeking the kingdom, God to take care of areas that you didn't even know that needed to be fixed.
Right.
When you start seeking the kingdom. So that's what us as, you know, Christians and people, true believers of Christ should be doing, is that going out to the world and telling people that Jesus loves them, not send your money in and this and that. I mean, that's another story. You know, that has something to do with it, but that's not all, you know. But again, you're totally right. So in these end times, you know, it's about someone else that needs Christ. Jesus didn't go to the well. I mean, you know, to the people who was in need of, you know, he went to the sick, the people who needed him.
Right.
And, you know, it was funny. I was discussing with a friend of mine. He was just talking about how much humble Jesus was. I mean, he didn't have riches and things like that. He was born in the back of a, you know what I mean? Like where he was born,
right.
He didn't have it all. I mean, he literally humbled himself. And when he rested on rocks before, you know
right.
what I mean? In the wilderness.
Right.
So when you, I mean, I'm not saying be poor or nothing like that. I'm just saying in general, he was humble. And he was really rich, but he didn't glorify himself that way. He wanted y'all to understand about it's all about God. You know what I mean? So if you're sitting
right.
there thinking your problems and your issues, God's bigger than that. We were just talking
right.
about that earlier. Life's bigger than just, you know, it's God wants you to prosper and have good homes and things like that and a nice car. That's fine. But you have to understand, how did Jesus walk? You see
right.
what I mean? Did he
right.
he toil? He did things to glorify the kingdom of God. So I want
right.
people to understand that. He went out his way for others. You know, he didn't care about bills or nothing like that. But this is the person we're supposed to be walking like. So just
right.
take that to mind and take heed to that and understand that it's not about you, it's about others. And I just wanted to share that.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's very... That's very good, man. That's very good. Very insightful. It's as we continue to, you know, learn and to study, that's tremendous, right? This is really good stuff as it relates to what we need to do for him. So is there anything else you want to share as well?
A few other things, too. Another thing is that, you know, people want answers. You know what I mean? I mean, most times, you know, and we always discuss this, me and you, I always talk about it. People want answers. I mean, it's that sometimes some people are afraid to come to the church because they don't want to offend somebody or things like that. So what I'm getting at is, it's like, I want people to understand, you got to tell these people the truth. We have to, everybody has problems. Satan is not, when he's on somebody, and if a person needs deliverance and they come to us, you have to be honest with them. You got to tell them. You see
right.
what I mean? Us
right.
as Christians, right now, this day and age of what's going on, it's drugs, teenage pregnancy. I mean, it's at its worst.
Yeah,
homosexuality.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
are getting killed just for believing in Jesus. So I say this to you. I say this to everyone. you have to stand tall and be honest and stand tall for Christ like Jesus did. I mean, stand tall for Christ like Jesus did in the times when there was a need. Don't sway and be honest with yourself. Again, if you're out there and you don't want to offend somebody or you don't want to mention Jesus or something like that, you're holding back truth.
Right.
People's going to ask you questions. They're going to give you heck and things like that. They're like, I want to be healed. I want to do this. You got to tell them, because that world is not nice. That world out there is not nice. I'm not saying be mean. I mean, it's terrible. But us as Christians, we have to gather ourselves together, go to the Word, everybody be on the same accord, and go out and save these lost and share this gospel with people. It's going to be rough. They might cuss at you. They might do these things. I'm not saying cuss back. I'm just saying you have to stand tall. I mean, most Christians are passive, but you can stand tall for righteousness. And you have to understand, right. I look at these great people in the Bible, you know, when it's in times, you know, you may feel like you're outnumbered. You may feel like, you know, it's the end of the rope or whatever the case may be, but stand tall for Christ. If you have nothing else to do, nothing else, just stand tall for the Father. Just stand tall. Stand tall that you are a believer in Jesus Christ and that he died and rose again to give you this day for eternal life.
Right.
We have to understand, and us as Christians, I'm not saying being passive, but when it's time, and it may hurt. I mean, think about it. In other countries right now as we speak, these people are not, they're not wavering. They say, I believe in Christ. They say, don't you know the penalty for believing in Jesus? We can kill you.
Right.
And that's a lot of power for them to go, yes, I do, because he's delivered me.
Right.
And then they'll kill them. I'm not saying kill yourself. I'm just saying that's a walking sacrifice, because
right.
when Jesus comes and he intervenes in your life, stay tall with him. He'll
right.
be with you along the way. It's like, wow, they're trying to force beliefs and things on people, and people are not going. Don't be afraid.
Right.
This time is coming, and God needs you. It's not you in this battle. You're standing tall for Jesus.
Right.
He's with you all the way through. So if it may cost you a job, or it may cost you these things, or whatever the case may be, but you have to stand tall for Christ. You have to. And I just wanted to share that and put that in your minds and give you that understanding, is that, you know, Jesus died for you. He gave you eternal life. All he wants in return is to believe in him. That's it.
Right.
The hard part's done. You know? It's the
right.
believing, you know? So, again, I just wanted to share that with y'all and get a great and better understanding upon, you know, with that. It's because this day and age is coming. It's here. No matter of fact, it's here. It's here. The things, the biblical times, and what they was talking about, that time is now. Just because they don't feel like it's now, but it's now. The laws are changing more and more for terrible things, for terrible
right.
things. And, you know, I think this guy tagged me in an article on Facebook the other day or the other week, and he was talking about, remember, we were discussing pedophiles are saying it's not a crime, it's a sickness. So people who mess with children and stuff, they're going to have rights.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, huh? It's like, huh? What are you talking about? Yes. Pedophiles, people who mess with little wimp kids, are going to have rights because they say it's a sickness. It's not a crime. It's in effect. I mean, these things are what's going on. It's happening in front of your eyes. But like you said, Charles and Luke, you say you pray for these things to pass over you.
Right.
Because
That's
when
right.
it's all said and done, you're just going to need Christ. That's it.
That's
I
right.
I mean, that's bottom line. I mean,
that's it.
That's
totally
right. And that's the main message that we have to keep renewing and renewing in our head, that our righteousness is with Jesus for what he has done for us. You may not see it right now, but in the spiritual realm, it's nasty and it's dirty. And you need to be protected physically, mentally, and spiritually, all around. You need to be, you can call on, and most people don't know what other powers that we have. So I share this, and I'll say this on every other show. You can call angels to protect you and your home and your children and stuff like that. You know, that's, you can do that. You know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure that the average Christian or whatever doesn't even know that. But you can really be guarded spiritually, you know, when you call on angels to have, you know, protection and things like that. I mean, the Father has blessed us with so many things, but people just do not know. They just don't know.
Right.
They just don't know. And knowing is very important, because if you get riled up in the things of the world, it's going to lead to destruction. Money, cars, but that stuff, you gotta, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And it makes it seem like the Christian church is all about that. But it's not true. That's not Jesus. You have to go back and look at the reference of Jesus, not man, and how Yahshua will walk, you know?
Right.
So these things and these events and all these things are getting revealed. Pay attention to the news. You have to know what's going on, and it's getting worse. But as it's getting worse, God's revealing a whole bunch of things that's making the Bible alive.
Pay attention.
You know, I mean, there's more people who's following Christ than ever in other countries other than the United States. You know, it's very revealing. Just listen to people's testimonies. I always say that every show. Listen to someone's testimony who was in your situation, if not worse. And then Jesus came along and changed their life, and they wouldn't want to go back for nothing. You know? But I just wanted to share that. Is there anything you want to add with that?
No, man. I think you did a good job, man. I thank you for calling in, man. That was very revealing, man. Very respectful, man.
Thank you.
I love it, man. It's really good. You got to call more often, man. I mean, I got to have more. I got to have more sessions too. But no, that's really good, man. You're right. I totally agree with
Hello.
You. I mean, that's really good, man.
That's
good. And
what was the name of the show? I was just kidding.
The name of the show was. It was Bible study today. It was today's patterns versus biblical history. But I kind of changed when I first started. I was basically going to talk about, but it was open forum though, so you can talk about anything you want. So,
right.
But yeah, I was just going to talk about how Christ is returning, how the world is today, and so that was good, man. I appreciate it.
And it's just mainly important what's important, you know, and getting rid of their works. And I always challenge someone or some, if someone's listening throughout the week long, you have to, if you're of Christ, at least witness to three or more people a week that you do not know about Christ. That's getting rid of dead works. That's, I mean, if a person's willing or a person's out there in the streets or someone asks or whatever the case may be, just witness saying something about Jesus. And that's how his kingdom gets built. So, again, when you're out there or whatever, you know, today's Sabbath, and just start from out the week or whatever the case may be, and just try to witness to three or more people you do not know, and tell them about Christ. I mean, just don't walk up on nobody, hey, you want Jesus? Not like that. But just explain, you know, if someone's willing or if it comes up in a conversation or whatever, the Father will show, he will show you a person that needs witnessing to. Trust me.
Right.
Just embed that in your head and just have that in your heart. Just have that in your heart. And then right after that, you'll hook them. I mean, that's getting rid of dead works, you know. I mean, you go to work all week, you know, people dedicate their lifestyle towards the work and jobs and everything like that. I mean, just be honest, you know, people dedicate 8 to 9 hours, a full dedication to their job, you know. And it's okay, you know, that's understandable. And they do things, you know, with their kids or their children, or do they do something else, watch a little television and go to rest. I'm not saying it's a waste of a day, but witnessing to somebody you do not know to Christ is only a few minutes. That's it. It's just only a few minutes. And that's not hard. That's fair. I mean, and that's not even going full time, you know? Just witnessing to somebody about, hey, Jesus is real.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to come in your life and change it. You give them, you know, scripture or whatever the case may be. Give them a Bible or something. Because people spend money on less, you know what I mean?
Right.
But you're trying to change a life or have Christ come into that life. And it doesn't take long. All it is just dedication, you know. But I just wanted to share that too as well.
Oh, okay. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that, man. And, yeah, I just want to say thank you for everything. Thank you for calling in and for all who's...
No problem. No problem,
who's also,
man,
listening. And maybe you want to conclude this with a prayer, Donald, for me? Or?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
no,
good. Thank you.
Father God, we come to you humbly and just want to say thank you, Father, for waking us up another good, beautiful, glorious Sabbath, and just forgive us for our sins. And we ask for forgiveness, Father, and just do the best in what we can do in this gospel. We do fall short from time to time, but we just ask, we keep repenting and asking you to reveal visions and things to us, Father. We do not want to fall short of the glory, Father. So we just want to say thank you for acknowledging you, you being in our lives, in everyone's lives around this world, and just want to give the word to people who are lost and give them better understanding on this gospel, on your word, to glorify you in the heaven, not us. So we just want to say thank you. And we're just praying for the United States. We're praying for the children to have the blood on the children, Father. Amen. And all these laws that are changing that is not in your will, Father, just, Father, just protect us. In the name of Yahshua, Father, we just want to say thank you for knowing you. And those people who are looking for you, looking for sight, Father, just reveal yourself to them, Father. And as we pray for Israel and what's going on, Father, we pray for Jerusalem and the great things of what's going on in Israel as you're building Israel together. And we pray for their country, Father. We pray for our country and everywhere around the world that glorify your name, Father, and protect those who are living in caves because the government says they can't believe on your name. And we just protect them, Father. We pray for them well. And as we go upon and coming into the tribulation, Father, we just ask for protection, provision, and presence, your presence, Father. So we just want to say thank you. Pray for people who need healing, churches that need to go out and help people, Father. Bless them. And we rebuke anything that comes against us in the name of Yahshua, Father. We pray for the angels to protect us, the angel heads on people's homes. Amen. And our fight is not against flesh and blood, but the rulers of darkness. And we just cast it out right now, Father. Call the angels, Michael, all of them, Father. In the name of Yahshua, Father. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And for all who are listening, check back with us next time. Hopefully next week we can continue on, and we'll have a new Bible study topic for all who wants to call in. Thank you, everyone. Love you, and God bless. Thank you.
God bless. Love y'all. Peace.
Love y'all. Bye.